Today is a little different because we're going to cover some Goosebumps merchandise. Goosebumps made just about everything. Inline skates, sleeping bags, a window valance. We're not going to go over everything because nobody needs me to discuss the nuances of 17 fucking different pencil designs. I just picked out some favorites to talk about. So without further ado, let's start with the Goosebumps fan welcome kit. Which is actually pretty sweet if you look at it. It comes in like a coffin-shaped box. It's got like a wallet in it. It's got like some Goosebumps scissors. It's got a Goosebumps bandana. It's got Goosebumps book plates, so you put them into your Goosebumps book. It's pretty good. And you know, at the time, I mean, is it current day pricing $225 good? Hell to the no. But, you know, at the time it was probably like 25 bucks or something like that. It's a pretty decent set of stuff. And I do feel like, though, what's missing is a badge of some kind. Isn't that what every kid wants? Like some kind of badge that shows you're an authority on something? I just tried to look up whether I could make custom badges for this show. And Google thinks I mean pins. And I was like, no, goddammit, badges. And then after that, it thought I meant employee ID badges you can use to scan yourself into work. What a sad world we live in where this is the primary kind of badge people think of. Just some laminated piece of crap with my dopey face on it. Why don't we make cool badges for signing in at work? We can do that. We have the technology, and yet we just ignore it. Okay, next is an electronic organizer. So this is like a keychain. It's got like an LCD screen and, you can put like phone numbers and stuff into it. Now I had one of these as a kid. I can't remember if it was Goosebumps or not, but I kind of think it was. What's hilarious about it though, is like, you know, you could put addresses and phone numbers and stuff into it and it's clearly made for kids, but what does a kid have to keep organized? I mean, when I was a kid, I knew like four people and almost all of them live with me all the time. What person is in the age demographic that they're a Goosebumps super fan yet also has to keep a bunch of phone numbers organized? That's a tiny, very weird Venn diagram. The other thing was if the battery died or you had to replace the battery, you lost everything. So then you had to go through this tedious process of reprogramming it. What a piece of shit. What a crazy ass thing. I mean, this must have been something that just existed and they were like, you know, we could throw some Goosebumps paint on it. And Scholastic Book Fair was like, sign me up, bitch. Next is a bookstand clock radio, which I like because it's a clock, a radio, and a bookstand. I do like, though, that it's got bookends on it. I mean, like, at least this piece of merchandise is related to the books, right? It's something, it's kind of something book-ish. It was also the 90s, so you might actually keep books next to your bed at night because you'd read instead of texting or whatever kids do these days. Ticking talks, I suppose. This has been a new tear I've been on is when you watch like a movie from the 80s or even the 90s, if two characters are getting in bed, one of them is going to be in bed reading a book for sure. Or they're going to have a book on the nightstand. Like that's what people did. It's weird to think that like back in the day, having like a screen in your bedroom was a crazy idea. You know what I mean? It was like super extravagant. And adults very rarely seem to do it. And now it's very normal. Let's see. Okay. This is a doorknob cover. And it's kind of like a swamp hand. It's like, stay out of the basement. And it's sort of this latex looking thing that you put over your doorknob. So in order to open the door to the room, you kind of shake hands with the don't go in the basement plant monster. And this is a tough one for me, because it's where Pete, who wants to live in Pee-wee's playhouse, has to fight with Pete, who wants to remain married and maybe have people in his house, like his in-laws. Not all the time, but, you know, like every couple months. And I don't want to have to redo our entire home to have them come over and not be like, so you married this. This was your choice, huh? Like, on one hand, there's a part of me that doesn't understand why adults don't just go ahead and go nuts. Why not paint something on the walls of your house, right? Like, if I owned my own home, I'd paint a mural on the garage gym wall like it was a high school gym or something. A very aggressive, pumpkin-headed, ripped dude for Pete's pumpkin patch. On the other hand, it is quite irresponsible to buy stuff like this on eBay. Is there anything in life that's easy? When do the decisions get easy? When is this going to happen? Next, we have a Walden Books Fright Switch cover, which is cleverly named Light Switch cover, which seems to be like a thing that was pretty big in the 90s and has sort of gone away. But in this case, Walden Books is the real ghost. Can you believe there used to be such a thing as not only an indoor mall, but a bookstore in that mall? Like, a bookstore was considered a reasonably exciting thing to have next to an arcade. Can I ask everyone a question? Why did we trade the indoor mall for the outdoor mall? It makes sense in, like, LA, but that's about it. Plus, the outdoor mall always sucks because you're basically walking through a parking lot the whole time. The outdoor mall near me, all the different restaurants are their own islands. So you have to cross the street to get to On the Border or whatever. Why would you design it that way? Did people go to the indoor mall and miss the thrill of possibly being hit by a truck driven by a guy who's 4 margaritas and 7 bowls of chips and salsa deep? Why did we trade lush fake plants and tiled wood boardwalks for walking through a parking lot? We are such fools. Next we have folders, which I only bring up because, you know, I had one. Yes, I had a Goosebumps folder for school. Even though mostly for school, I crammed everything into my backpack and there was like no organizational scheme to it. But I had this Goosebumps folder for so long that I had it up to an age where I was embarrassed to have it and threw it out. Parents, this is something to watch for with your kids. They're going to turn like 14 or 15 and want to divest themselves of all their childhood stuff. But maybe just keep some of the best stuff in a box or something. Which probably isn't a Goosebumps folder, that's probably not the best stuff. But if my mom had saved one printer paper box of shit from my childhood, I would not be mad about that. And that seems like a reasonable amount to just keep hanging around, you know? And when your kid's like, I'm going to get rid of this stuff, and you're like, you know what? I'm going to take this beloved childhood action figure that I saw him play many hours with and just throw it in the box. You know, and when the box runs out of space, just... you have to one in, one out or something, but whatever. Next is a compass. Not to be confused with the directional compass, but the one you use to draw circles. Which is, in school, what we all called a protractor, which was a different, equally useless object that we all had. Seriously, why did we have these compasses? I've never once, as an adult, outside a math class, had any use for this other than gouging or stabbing things into school property. It's like some mathematician thought that he'd like to give kids a way to vandalize stuff, so he invented this gizmo and made us all think we needed one. He told all his mathematician buddies to help him by adding one chapter to their math textbooks they were writing, something about drawing perfect circles and stuff. And then boom, every kid just has to have a professional architect's tool in third grade. Now we've got gene tattoos. I'd never heard of these before, but apparently they're temporary tattoos that you apply to your genes, which then wash out. Is this for people who are opposed to applying temporary tattoos to their skin or something? Maybe that was a thing. I feel like there was the occasional parent unhappiness with temporary tattoos back in the day. Like it was like candy cigarettes or something. And maybe they had a point because every motherfucker my age has sleeves and dozens of tattoos and they're always like, it's so addicting. Is it though? Because I feel like maybe people get one tattoo and then they have an idea and they're like, fuck, if I could replace this one tattoo I got with this new idea, I would do that. And then you end up having like five, and three of them you're not so hot on anymore, so you might as well get another 10 to kind of mask the others. You get caught in this cycle where you have to reduce the significance of each tattoo by getting two more tattoos. Then we have the goosebump sounds of Halloween tape. So this is like one of those you put in the boombox to scare the kids. I collect Halloween sounds tapes from thrift stores. And this is probably the stupidest thing you could ever collect, but it's cheap and you don't see them all the time, so it's not like I'm dropping $100 every time I hit the arc. There isn't a copy of this sound tape available on Internet Archive, like most things, but Internet Archive is down right now, so we can't listen to any of it, unfortunately. Okay, here's a window valance. Now, I had to look up what a valance is. It's basically curtains with a puffy curtain that goes along the top of the window, too. You fancy boys out there are probably laughing at my description right now. Well, I don't know what to say. I am what I am, and what I am is someone completely unfamiliar with a valance. What's extra weird, though, is that to me, a valance looks like a fancy thing, so that's an upper crust situation, but having a Goosebumps branded merchandise valance would probably not be very classy, right? So is the person with the Goosebumps valance more or less fancy than the person with, say, curtain rod holders command stripped to his rental home's walls so he can put up a second set of blackout curtains? Just say. Then we've got glow and tell cards. Now these are actually pretty cool. What they are is they're kind of bookmark shaped, and you shine a flashlight through them to create shadow puppets on the wall. And then they have little spooky stories on them that go along with the shadow puppets. This is actually a great idea for a library or book promotion, and I give this a 10 out of 10. It's a good idea, it makes sense with the concept of books, and it's cheap as hell to make, so the margins on these would be amazing. Next, I've got a slumber tent of terror, which you've probably seen something like this. They would make a little branded tent. It's not like an outside sleeping tent. Oftentimes, it doesn't even have a floor. I used to love these tents as a kid, and it was tragic when I got too big for them. But hey, if you're a preteen who's now too big for a James and the Giant Peach tent you ordered online, the good news is that it gets better. I now sleep in a bed with a tent that goes over the top of it. It's amazing. I recommend it. I crawl in there, and it's like being back in the warmth of my youth. Monster bags. Okay, these are basically in-action figures that came in a bag, and if you dip the bag in water, it dissolves into slime, which is honestly super cool, although as a kid you don't have the foresight to realize that the dissolving is a one-time deal, and then you've basically got a shitty-looking statue. It's genius on some marketer's part. You have to buy them over and over in order to do the most fun thing with them. Plus, you don't know which statue it's going to be until you dissolve the bag, so you can't buy 10 and have the whole set. You might have to buy a near infinite number. It's like gambling for kids. 90s toy designers were shameless, man. They were like drug dealers. They sell you Dr. Dreadful's drink labs and the necessary powders, and then you use all the powders up in like 20 minutes and need more powders, which then were super expensive. This is probably what Stringer Bell came up with in those college classes he was taking. Then we had a monster head maker. So this was kind of like a Mr. Potato Head, but it looked like a skull, and you put frightening shit on it. And I think this existed before Goosebumps, and then they rebranded it as a Goosebump, which isn't totally unfair. I assume the Goosebumps window valance wasn't the first ever window valance. I mean, it would be amazing if it was, but I've learned to assume that life is rarely that amazing. Then we've got a Rose Art activity kit. This is probably familiar to a lot of you. I think a lot of us got this sort of thing as a gift for one Christmas or a birthday, and it's like a plastic sort of briefcase looking thing that folds out, and it's just got, you know, like a million colored pencils and crayons and crayons and, you know, other art stuff in it. But the thing is, they all suck. You know what I mean? Because they're Rose Art. And the real horror, I think, is being in charge of the company Rose Art. So kids can have the shittiest crayons known to man. I mean, how much is the price difference between a Crayola box of crayons and a Rose Art box of crayons? Like, how much cheaper, how much of a service are you providing by making crayons, quote, affordable? How low does your self-esteem have to be the CEO of Rose Art? My desk would just be different revolvers in each drawer for when I decided to end it all. No, wait. It'd be a giant plastic suitcase blow-molded to fit around a variety pack of suicide methods, like a gun, some pills, etc. Just like their art kits, it would present a huge open road of opportunity. And last, we've got a scare-a-day calendar. So this is like one of those calendars where it was a like a big pad of Post-it notes, except instead of Post-it, it was just plain paper. And, you know, each day had something different on it. And these seem to have kind of fallen out of fashion. They were really big in the 90s, but, you know, probably fell out because they are wasteful as fuck. However, 2025 is the year when a 1997 calendar is accurate again as far as days of the week. I did look at some other of these page-a-day calendars from 1997. There's lots of nudie calendars, which I could see. 365 naked ladies is a lot of naked ladies. There's a Star Trek The Next Generation calendar, and I'm not sure how that works. You'd have 2 days per episode, although I guess it could be trivia or some bullshit, and I'm not certain how canonical page-a-day calendars are. And then there was one with The Cure on it. I guess maybe with pictures or lyrics for every day? I kind of get comic strips. The Far Side was built for this shit, but The Cure? Who had Cure comics pinned to their cubicle wall? I want to meet that guy. He's probably fun. Well, maybe not fun. That's probably not the right word, but interesting.
Goosebumps. Read or beware, you're in for a scare.